Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Gaslighting Recognize Manipulative and Emotionally Abusive People, and Break Free by Stephanie Sarkis is a practical psychology and self-help guide about a specific form of emotional abuse, the deliberate distortion of another person's sense of reality. Sarkis, a mental health professional, explains how gaslighters use charm, denial, blame shifting, contradiction, and social manipulation to gain control over partners, relatives, co-workers, friends, and co-parents. The book is not a memoir or a theoretical academic text. It is a reader-facing guide designed to help people identify patterns that may otherwise appear confusing or isolated. Its purpose is both diagnostic and practical to name manipulative behaviors, explain why they are destabilizing, and outline ways to protect oneself or leave harmful situations. The book is especially focused on real-life contexts, including dating, family systems, workplaces, and post-separation parenting, where gaslighting can be difficult to recognize because it is often mixed with affection, authority, dependency, or professional obligation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, gaslighting as a systematic attack on reality testing. Sarkis frames gaslighting not as ordinary disagreement, forgetfulness, or occasional dishonesty, but as a recurring pattern that causes a person to doubt perception, memory, judgment, and emotional responses. This distinction matters because many victims initially interpret the behavior as miscommunication or relationship conflict. The book emphasizes that gaslighting is cumulative. One denial or contradiction may be ambiguous, but repeated distortions gradually weaken confidence in one's own interpretation of events. And the gaslighter benefits when the target becomes preoccupied with proving what happened, apologizing for reasonable reactions, or seeking validation from the manipulator. In this sense, the abuse is psychological because it shifts the target's attention away from the gaslighter's conduct and toward self-interrogation. Sarkis also stresses that gaslighting can appear in many relationships, not only romantic ones. A parent, supervisor, friend, or co-parent can use the same pattern of reality distortion. The central insight is that the damage comes less from any single lie than from the erosion of self-trust, which makes it harder to resist, leave, or ask others for help. Secondly, common tactics include denial, withholding, triangulation, and blame reversal. A major practical contribution of the book is its catalog of recognizable gaslighting tactics. Sarkis describes behaviors such as lying, denying prior statements, withholding information, trivializing feelings, changing the subject, and reframing the victim's reactions as irrational. These tactics work because they create confusion while preserving the gaslighter's appearance of reasonableness. For example, a conditional apology, such as "I am sorry you feel that way," avoids responsibility while implying that the victim's emotions are the real problem. Triangulation is another important tactic. Instead of addressing conflict directly, the gaslighter brings in third parties, reports selective information, or creates competition among people. This makes the target feel outnumbered or unsure of who can be trusted. Splitting, a related behavior, involves pitting people against one another so that attention shifts away from the manipulator's actions. Sarkis treats these behaviors as warning signs because they are not simply unpleasant communication habits. Their function is control. They keep the target reactive, defensive, and dependent on the gaslighter for clarification, approval, or emotional stability. Thirdly, the gaslighter's charm and need for control make early detection difficult. The book pays close attention to why gaslighters can be difficult to identify at the beginning of a relationship. Sarkis notes that manipulative people may appear confident, attentive, charismatic, or unusually persuasive before controlling behaviors become obvious. This early presentation matters because it creates a favorable baseline. Later cruelty or deception may be excused as stress, misunderstanding, or an exception to the person's real character, while avoiding the idea that readers must diagnose another person to recognize harm. The practical point is behavioral rather than clinical. A gaslighter tends to seek dominance, special treatment, image protection, and freedom from accountability. When confronted, the person may double down on denial, attack the accuser, or portray themselves as the injured party. This pattern makes conventional problem solving ineffective. Good faith conversation assumes mutual interest in truth and repair. Gaslighting exploits that assumption. Sarkis therefore encourages readers to judge patterns by their effects, especially whether interactions repeatedly leave them confused, diminished, isolated, or apologizing for legitimate concerns. Fourthly, different settings change how gaslighting operates and how risks appear. Sarkis distinguishes gaslighting across dating, intimate relationships, families, workplaces, and co-parenting because each setting gives the manipulator different tools. In dating, early red flags may include intense charm combined with possessiveness, boundary testing, or subtle criticism. In long-term relationships, the target may face financial dependency, shared housing, social isolation, or concern for children, which makes the pattern harder to interrupt. Family gaslighting can be especially confusing because authority, loyalty, and childhood conditioning may normalize the manipulator's version of events. In workplaces, gaslighting may involve taking credit, denying instructions, undermining performance, or making the target appear unreliable to colleagues and supervisors. Co-parenting adds another layer because separation does not necessarily end contact. The gaslighter may use schedules, communication, or children as channels for control. By organizing the book around these contexts, Sarkis shows that gaslighting is not a single script. The same underlying goal, control through destabilization, adapts to available power structures. This context-based approach helps readers identify patterns without assuming that every situation will look like a romantic abuse scenario. Lastly, breaking free depends on boundaries, documentation, support, and disengagement. The book's practical advice centers on reducing the gaslighter's ability to define reality for the target. Sarkis emphasizes recognizing patterns, setting boundaries, seeking outside support, and where appropriate, leaving the relationship or limiting contact. The advice is not based on persuading the gaslighter to understand the harm, because the book repeatedly suggests that manipulative people often avoid accountability and may use confrontation as another opportunity to distort events. Instead, the emphasis is on restoring the target's access to independent judgment. Documentation can be useful in workplaces, legal contexts, or co-parenting situations because it creates a record outside the gaslighter's shifting account. Support from trusted friends, therapists, advocates, or legal professionals can also counter isolation and provide reality checks. Sarkis does not present recovery as merely emotional relief. It includes practical safety, planning, and rebuilding confidence after prolonged self-doubt. The idea of breaking free, therefore, means more than ending contact. It means learning to recognize manipulation early, trust one's perceptions again, and create conditions in which the gaslighter has less access to attention, information, and control. In conclusion, gaslighting is best suited for readers who suspect that a relationship, workplace dynamic, family pattern, or co-parenting arrangement has become emotionally manipulative, but cannot yet clearly name what is happening. It may also be useful for therapists, advocates, and support professionals who want accessible language for explaining reality distortion and coercive interpersonal control. Its practical benefit lies in translating a widely used cultural term into specific behaviors, contexts, and responses. Readers gain a vocabulary for tactics such as denial, triangulation, withholding, conditional apologies, and blame reversal, along with a clearer understanding of why these behaviors can produce self-doubt and dependency. Compared with broader books on toxic relationships or narcissistic abuse, Sarkis's work stands out for its focused structure and scenario-based approach. Rather than treating gaslighting as a vague synonym for cruelty, it shows how the same manipulative pattern operates differently in dating, marriage, family, work, and post-separation parenting. The book is not a substitute for professional help in dangerous or severe situations, but it can help readers organize their perceptions before seeking support. Its value is clearest for people who need practical recognition tools and a measured explanation of why confusion itself can be a sign of manipulation. If you would like to support Stephanie Sarkis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.